Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome back to the FPL Roundtable, the only fantasy Premier League podcast where we guarantee that you might learn something about fantasy, probably. I'm your host, Kevin DeVries. Joining me, as always, my good friend and partner in crime, Rob Langevin. Rob, we're back.
Yes, sir.
Fantasy's
yes, we are back.
We are back. Your thoughts?
We're back. Yeah, man, I'm just excited to be back. I mean, FPL never leaves. To be honest,
not our hearts, anyway.
No, definitely not, and definitely not in our minds as we parlay that into information across the interwebs of the world and into people's ears right now as they're sitting on their train or their toilet or wherever they may be. You know,
we just Do you think anybody's listening to this on the toilet in the train?
Ooh, I mean, it depends on how long the train ride is. I mean, you know, I don't know what it is in the state, you know, abroad, you know, in the States, you know, I wouldn't trust those toilets. I'd probably hold it.
That's a good point. But what is your methodology for avoiding having to use the bathroom on things like planes and trains?
Unless it starts coming out of me, the bathroom is not an option.
Right. But like, do you ensure that you go before you board?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm not like taking medication or pills to like prevent myself from going. Listen, your body's going to tell you if you have to go, and if you have to go, you have to go. Like, there's no stopping that. You know, if you have to go on a plane and you like the opposite rotation of the water being sucked out and the blue water, that's fine. I mean, life happens. You know, life happens everywhere. Life happens in the FPL. Everybody gets injuries and rotation risks and all that type of good stuff.
But yeah. Jurassic Park, as you referenced life a few times there, life finds a way.
Yeah. I got a good quote from Jurassic Park too. Ready?
Mm.
Rawr.
Oh, that's a good one. Also, you were so busy thinking whether or not you could. I know you didn't ask if you should. Or something.
From the non-masturbating T-Rex.
Okay.
Think about that one. Let that get in your ears for a little bit.
I might not. Several things happening in the FPL landscape since we last spoke. We will just dive into that now.
Do it.
We'll start with not transfers, because there's lots of transfers. We'll get to that in a second. But what did happen was our first double game week, and man, did it suck. So, do you have any consolatory words for people that triple captain this week? And do you think people should start thinking about the next double game week, or do you think they should approach it with trepidation considering how disappointing this double game week was?
Well, I mean, going into double game week is always like a crapshoot. It's like sitting and playing bingo and you have the first four numbers called and then basically you're waiting for that last number and you never get it. You know, that's what basically the double game week, you know, preparation is, and you know, the expectancy of point return, and then sometimes you just don't get it. You know, you're allowed only three players per team. Everybody knows this. And sometimes you hit on the right players. Sometimes you don't. There just wasn't the accumulation of points, the accumulation of goals, the accumulation of, you know, tertiary or ancillary or whatever stats you want to throw in there that add to your FPL total that just didn't come from Spurs or West Ham. Listen, I kind of knew this was going to happen. And I don't think by the early double game week fixture, I wasn't fully on board with the whole, you know, package of it. I'm not a Kane owner. I haven't been a Kane owner for a while. I'm not a proponent of triple captaining someone when I don't feel it. I know, yes, on paper, West Ham was a sort of I feel it kind of thing. But leading up to that, how confident in Kane were you? Like, he blanked in like three of the last four games going up into it. He was sick. You know, and then everybody jumped on the Heung-Min Son bandwagon, and he had enough return that people weren't like, okay, I'm a little pissed off at Heung-Min Son.
And that goal against West Ham was fuego.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a great goal. But, you know, these things happen in FPL. That's why you can go all pot committed, but, you know, keep some crisps to yourself. Keep the triple captain. Creep, you know, now everybody has the new wild card now. So I mean, there's beautiful things on the horizon for the FPL universe. So there's nothing to fret about. And talking about future double game weeks, you know, we are on the precipice after today's game with Arsenal and Chelsea of possibly seeing another double game week being announced, and that's probably in double game week. City's going to blank most likely in double game week 28 because their game against Arsenal that week, now that City has beaten Bristol City, is probably in doubt here. So after week 28, you run into Champions League fixtures, which are, you know, in week 30, the Tuesday, Wednesday after week 30. So the future scheduling of the FPL is an ever-changing chameleon right now because City is looking like they're going to blank in week 28, and then the winner of Chelsea-Arsenal may also blank as well. So, I mean, there's something to look forward there because, you know, I'd rather look forward to, you know, double game week with City, Chelsea, or Arsenal than West Ham and Spurs. No offense to you, Kevin. I know you're a devout Spurs player, and I know you're probably changing the lettering on your George Ndoku jersey, or however you say it now that he's at Burnley.
George Kevin Nkudu.
There you go, Nkudu, whatever. The guy from Star Wars who says, go back, it's a trap.
Admiral Nkudu. It's a trap!
But you know, from that standpoint, I'm looking forward to what's on the future horizon now. You know, the FA Cup is in full steam. That's going to alter some fixtures moving ahead. But, you know, it's only week 20. What is it, week 24? We got plenty of time, Kevin. We got plenty of time. Mm. 23. It's week 23. See, I'm even jumping ahead.
Yep. Although only 15 match weeks left makes it sound much shorter.
Yeah, but you know what? Then there's what, 4 weeks off, and then the World Cup starts. So anybody who's a fan of footy and FPL MLS, if anybody's into that, that stirs their pot. It starts March 10th, the FPL MLS season. So there's that as well.
Yeah, all kinds of strokes for all kinds of folks. This is not the most important transfer, but you mentioned it, and I'm a homer, so I'll bring it up first. George Kevin Nkudu moving to Burnley. Scuttlebutt that Tottenham have been given assurances that he'll start at least half of the remaining matches for Burnley, which could make him an interesting option. Obviously, the performances have not been high, which is why he's not been playing much, but the talent level is, and he's likely to just step in the place of what was originally Brady, and then has just kind of been a mix of people since. So it could be an interesting guy. I think he's in the fives. But let's get on to the people that
The funny thing about George Nkudu is he goes to a Burnley team and he's automatically the highest priced midfielder there.
Oh, really?
He's tied with three other players at 5.4.
Is it Goodmunson?
It is not Goodmunson. It's DeFore, Hendrick, and Brady.
Wow. Interesting. Wait, still Brady?
Yeah.
Great. That makes sense.
It's the fourth Brady son.
It's the Brady Bunch. Why did we never do Burnley and the Brady Bunch? That made so much sense. I don't know.
Because we're way cooler than that, and that's too cliche.
Okay, that's what it is. We're super original that and awesome.
We save that kind of stupidity for other podcasts that try to mimic our style and jock our bees.
They try to bite our flow.
Yeah, totally.
Et cetera. Fair enough. All right, well, the biggest news is probably the double Liverpool stuff. Van Dijk came in. I don't know if we've done a show since he came in or not. He obviously scores the header in the Merseyside Derby in their round of the FA Cup. Is that somebody you're looking at, especially considering Liverpool's good home form?
Yeah, we did talk about it. We talked about it last week. We did do a show last week. Yes, he did score, and at 5.5, I believe he is now, 5.4. Mm. He's somewhere in that vicinity, 5.4. Yeah, I mean, he's definitely somebody you could look at. You know, with Liverpool's schedule, their propensity to score goals and keep clean sheets at home, he's got to be an option for people moving forward. Because the only problem that runs in with Liverpool is they have so many other offensive weapons that you want to own. You know, Salah, Firmino. You know, now the next guy we're going to talk about is Coutinho. You know, Mane is still owned pretty, you know, over 7%. So, you know, people are always looking for that third investment for Liverpool. And I think that VVD is probably the guy there now, because, you know, I think minus the Coutinho situation, I think it alleviates everybody spending, you know, eight point five million on a midfielder from Liverpool, because now you're probably, almost the whole world is already owning Salah at 9. Whatever you bought him in at. Firmino is an interesting player at forward because the forward ranks are up and down and blah and blah, and everybody has their own buy-ins and loves and dislikes. So, I mean, yeah. I mean, I like Van Dijk at 5-4. I've always been a Van Dijk supporter. If anybody's ever listened to this podcast, which is probably our 200th or somewhere around, probably 150th together in all formats that we've done. If you go back to like week one or episode one or two that we've done, I've probably always been screaming Virgil's praises because I think that he's one of the better stay-at-home defenders that can get involved in the fray offensively.
Yeah, he's just so good in the air.
He's basically what you know people expect from Nicolas Otamendi offensively is basically what you can expect from Virgil van Dijk. That's the best comparison I can think of from an FBL standpoint, and he's $1 million cheaper than Otamendi.
Right, yeah. Definitely agree. It would be a tough ask this week against City. But again, Liverpool do have the best home defense in the league. You alluded to there. The Coutinho departure, obviously sell him if you own him because his kit isn't going to change to Barcelona and you still get points in the FPL game. Who do you think benefits the most from this? It is worth noting that we did a Liverpool update on the EPL roundtable. And Dave Hendrick thought it might be Oxlade-Chamberlain. I think that makes a lot of sense. Not sure that's as fantasy interesting as if it was Lallana. But where do you think we'll see some of that point share going?
I think, you know, granted if Liverpool doesn't do anything else on the transfer market, I don't know if they're done spending or whatnot. But, you know, I could see this completely helping out Adam Lallana's, like, value here. You know, at 7.3, we saw what he was last year in dribs and drabs. When he had the ability.
Wasn't it around now? Like January, February? And he had like literally two like really good months?
The last like 12 games of the season last year when Klopp completely bought into playing him. And he basically played like that adjunct 10 role, which, you know, I know 10s and 9s and, you know, it's kind of weird. But I think Lallana is going to be that guy. Whether he gets, you know, the same positioning as Coutinho does. But the love there is, A, his price is 7.3. If he starts, he's the cheapest starting, you know, midfielder for Liverpool that you want offensively. I'm not buying Oxlade-Chamberlain being anything. I'm not buying Wijnaldum, you know, being anything more than a defensive guy or when he plays Newcastle. But, you know, Mane and Salah are always going to be there. Salah's at 10.1 currently. Mane's 9.3. You know, that's a big difference. If you can get involved and be on, you know, the forefront of a player like Lallana at 7.3, and he starts performing for a team that's going to score a lot of goals in the upcoming fixtures. I know they're probably not going to blow the doors off, you know, City this week at home, but look at their upcoming fixtures. It kind of flip-flops a little bit for one or two games, but then it goes Swansea at home on the road, Huddersfield on the road, Spurs at home, Southampton on the road, West Ham at home, Newcastle at home. And that takes you to basically March. And so that's three out of the next eight fixtures are against teams in the top 10 defensively. So, I mean, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it'll definitely be interesting to see what happens with that. Staying in that city, Cenk Tosun moves to Everton. Do you think he's somebody that people should start looking at owning? Does this just mean to stop owning DCL and maybe the low shares of Rooney and Nias? What do you think that effect will have on that Everton attack?
Yeah, well, it basically puts a dagger through the heart of my Calvert-Lewin love fest.
Although, to be fair, his performance had been doing that all on their own.
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, he's basically played himself out regardless of what his price was. That's the unfortunate thing. Calvert-Lewin was in a lot of people's squads because of his price, not more of his return. They were more involved in him in a price and say, if he does something, that'd be awesome. I like Tosun, you know. I'm kind of weary of, you know, when everybody's saying that, oh, this is Big Sam's guy. Anybody who says that and is a great supporter of EPL or FPL in general, name me the last guy that Big Sam has had as a striker that scored over 15 goals in a season, because I can't think of one. I legitimately can't think of one. I actually went back and looked for like 3 or 4 years before we started this, and I ran out of time and I couldn't find one. But, you know, I don't want to put the scarlet letter on Cenk Tosun, but, you know, this is a good move for him. He goes from a Besiktas team that was – they're doing fairly well in their own home league. But, look, it's Turkey. You know, he had 4 goals, 2 assists in 449 – I'm sorry, I'm reading the long – he had 8 goals and assists in 1,200 minutes for Besiktas before transferring to Everton. You know, transferring that over, you know, Turkey is nowhere near on the same level as the EPL is. You know, I mean, yes, there are two or three teams in there that have tons of stars in it. And if you look at the Besiktas squad, they have a ton of names that make sense to everybody. They have Charisma, you know, Alvaro Negredo. They have a lot of guys that you've heard of before, Ryan Babel. A lot of guys on that team that are, you know, known around, you know, anybody who knows soccer knows those names. So there's – but I don't know how much he's going to be contributing up top. I know the Nias rumors are that he's going to be gone. So, I mean, if Nias goes and, you know, Calvert-Lewin basically is just lying in the weeds there and you still have Wayne Rooney there, you know, I'm anxious to see what he could do. I'm not buying him right now at 7.5. But, I mean, Everton need a guy. We've talked about this how many times this year, Kevin? Two or three times. That Everton seemed like they have a lot of the pieces for the buildup, but they're missing that striker type guy. Mm. I think this may be their first, you know, the first, you know, arrow at the bullseye here, the hope that they hit on a guy that can take them up to the, you know, the top six or top seven, wherever they ever have ambitions of going. But I mean, I'm anxiously optimistic waiting to see what Tosun can do, because, you know, he fits the mold of what they're looking for. And, you know, in a nutshell, I'm basically comparing him on a lesser team to basically the anticipation of what a Morata could do for Chelsea, but obviously on a downgraded sale. But if he could do 90% of what Morata does, he's going to be a bargain at 7.5.
I'm surprised you're alluding to Morata right now, considering how struggly he's been the last 3 weeks.
Well, you know, if he wasn't getting chances, people would be screaming that as well. But guess what? He's still getting chances. He's just not capitalizing on them. The only thing that's bad for Morata is that he'd lose to a one-legged man in an ass-kicking contest because he can't kick for shit. You know, that's the only bad thing right now is that Morata. But, you know, from a worrisome standpoint, yes, it's worrisome. I'm a Morata owner, but I'm holding stout that, you know what? I'm more optimistic in him that he's still getting chances, just not converting. Listen, it'd be completely worse if he wasn't getting chances and not converting, but he's getting chances and not converting. But the odds on chances that is, if he continues to get chances, he's still going to convert once in a while, even if it is at an alarming low percentage of you know, attempts one-on-one with the goalie and, you know, shots on goal and all that. He's eventually going to find the back of the net, whereas I'd be more worrisome if, you know, you're looking at, say, a guy like, you know, Lukaku or another striker in the Premier League that isn't getting any chances and you won't score any of the goals that you don't take. So from that standpoint, I'm completely holding on Morata because I think that it's going to come. And I think people who are jumping off the bandwagon because he can't score one-on-one, yes, we notice that he gets nervous in front of when he's on one-on-one with a goal. He looks like he almost wants to, you know, like lay down and suck on his thumb and steal Linus's baby blanket. But, like, I get it, but the chances are coming. If there was no chances, I'd be a complete, you know, I'd be like, sell Morata, sell it faster than frozen concentrated orange juice. But he's getting the chances. That's the one thing I want to tell people. Listen, his price is not something you really want to be like, eh, Morata's one of those players either you're committed to or you're not committed to. There's no in between there because he's going to be one of those players that's going to score two goals 1 week and then probably hit the post three times, knock the goalie in the face three times, and not score the next week. But he's getting chances. That's all I want to tell people in the FBL universe. And his price did go down. So, I mean, people are jumping off ship, but I don't know where they're jumping ship to. I mean, are they pedaling down to Sergio Aguero? Oh, guess what? His price went down too. Are they pedaling down to Harry Kane? Oh, guess what? He just disappointed the thousands of people who double you know, triple captained him and had a double game week. You know, there's so many question marks with the forward ranks in FPL right now that, you know, you've gotta almost, you know, put your foot down, you know, and say, all right, this is my guy until he isn't the guy, and then I'm moving on. And Morata, to me, is that guy because the chances are there. They're just not converted chances. That's the only bad thing.
Yeah, the interesting thing for me always with a player that's shooting below their career shot accuracy, which is both Morata and Kane, funnily enough.
Yeah.
Although Kane's shot totals are so heinously high that it hasn't really affected him too much.
And Salah is no genius either if you look at his shooting percentage either.
But Salah's still top five, though.
I mean, of course.
The other two are...
But I'm saying, you know, comparatively, he's not converting on a thousand, you know, every thousand chances either. But people are just – but because he has been getting results and scoring more frequently than others, he's the bell of the ball. Everybody wants to take him to prom or the Sadie Hawkins dance or whatever dance they want to
do. The Sadie Hawkins dance. Also, just while we're talking about it, good news on Salah. Sounds like he will be fit for the weekend. So mm-hmm. for those that held on, that should be a benefit to them. I agree with you on Morata. The interesting thing on cases like these, as I was saying, is do you think that this is going to be a negative outlier statistically, or that struggles like that mean that a breakout is coming soon? It's really just up to you. I mean, Leicester's defense yeah. isn't exactly worrying. Yeah. So I personally am holding on, not for excitement, just because other moves were more pressing. And as you said, he's getting the opportunities. He just isn't taking them. I don't know if Conte will stick with Morata this match or mm-hmm. kind of give him a break and give Batshuayi a go just to kind of give Morata a match to get his head right, or if that would be negative for him. And he needs to just kind of keep rolling him out there to show faith in him. Some of those misses were, dare I say, Soldado-esque. Unfortunately, but I can definitely see the argument for why you would want to keep. The other Chelsea news, Ross Barkley has been signed by Chelsea. Are you interested in buying him now? And what does it mean for the Fabregas Bakayoko Drinkwater trio?
I'm so excited about Ross Barkley. He's such a friend of the program. We've said so many good things about him.
We've only ever said nice things.
Through the annals of this podcast. Listen, this kind of nukes two people here, and it brings up a question that I want to pull it back onto you. It kind of nukes Drinkwater, but he wasn't really doing that much in league play anyway. Kind of nukes Bakayoko, which is probably a great thing because what we've seen out of Bakayoko is he can get himself on the end of a header, but can't do much else besides foul people and get in the way of others. But I want to turn this on you. Do you think that Barkley is in position or can do enough, not in the games, but show Conte enough that they will be, Chelsea will change their shape or form a little bit to incorporate Barkley somewhere into their lineup that they're more than they're challenging, more than they're fielding right now?
Not particularly. I think he'd be better served in a three in midfield. Mm-hmm. Probably with Conte and maybe Fabregas. I think it's more likely that he'll be in a two, but that kind of limits him because basically if you're playing a two-man midfield, Conte mm-hmm. basically automatically has one of those slots ever since Matic left. So it's Conte, and then what do you want? Because if it's Conte and Bakayoko, that's very defensive. If it's Conte and Fabregas, it's basically defense and passing. If it's Conte and Barkley, it's defense and kind of more of a box-to-box player. You don't really play with a traditional 10, which is why players like Oscar and Mata had brief stints at the club. So it'll be interesting to see how he's used. But no, I don't think the tactics will change just because Barkley's there. I think that the lineups will change based on what Antonio Conte is looking for in each match.
Yeah, I think that the natural position him for me right now, looking at what they possibly could field, is him right next to N'Golo Kanté. That's the natural fit for me because I think it gives them more of an offensive player. Because a lot of times I've noticed what Chelsea's been doing is they have N'Golo Kanté involved in the offense or in a position to gain a pass inside their opponent's 18, and he's not that kind of player. Like, yes, he's a gifted player all around. He leads the world in interceptions behind. He's always in the top defensive metrics of soccer. But I feel like that now that they have Barkley there, I think that Barkley could take over and slide into the positions that Conte was, sliding into the offensive end. I'm optimistic that he could. Listen, anytime you sign a 24-year-old who's an English-based player for a bargain or $20 million less than it happened for, I'm all for it. Because you know what? If he sucks, he's going to get buried and he's going to hurt himself. But if he does well, he's actually going to help Chelsea and help his if they want to retransfer him back out money. So, I mean, listen, everybody's got to take chances once in a while. I mean, it doesn't hurt him. It's only a depth addition, but that's just me.
I agree that it's kind of a wait and see one. Would you tell people that have Fabregas to sell out now, or do you think that's wait and see as well?
Yeah, I mean, when's the last time Fabregas had a decent return? I mean, I can't name it off the top of my head.
Yeah, because he's getting an assist, it's usually just one. He said, really hoping that was the case.
You know, I mean, he's 6.8 right now. His last, he had an assist 3 weeks ago against Brighton, and that was his last assist since Thanksgiving.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, he's sitting
on 57. So you're saying, much like we were talking about earlier with DCL, the income of Barkley isn't really why you should get rid of. The performances were already not that great.
Yeah, no, I mean, Fabregas shouldn't have been owned or shouldn't be rostered right now on anybody. If you were a Fabregas owner, I hope that you switched. If you wanted to be involved and have, you know, offensive Chelsea players, you switched over to Willian when the chance was there, because Willian's been, you know, giving you at least decent enough returns the last 4 or 5 weeks. But yeah, I mean, yeah, unfortunately, there's probably nobody else in the ownership ranks of Chelsea besides Hazard that you could really own without hurting yourself otherwise. You know, Hazard's only owned in 8.1% because he's just not – he's maybe the world's greatest player in the game. And when we watch it, oh, he's taking on guys. He dribbles around. But guess what? Where's his fantasy returns?
Yeah.
You know, he's sitting on 95 points, which is, I think, believe right outside the top 10 for midfielders. And he's one of the top 4 or 5 most expensive players at midfield. So, I mean, you're hoping and praying that Hazard does something, but there's other players on his team that are giving you better in-form returns, that like Willian. Pedro's even scored a couple goals. You know, I mean, if you're investing in Chelsea, there's two players that you should be invested in. And they're both on defense. So, I mean, you should be saving the money and just bringing in Christensen for the bargain of the clean sheet, and bringing in Alonso for the cheap, the clean sheet and the goal or assist or the offensive capabilities that he's bringing to the table.
Yeah. Also, Alonso's a really interesting one, because I feel like Alonso owners have been disappointed in him all year, but he's still clearly the best FPL defender out there.
Oh, ridiculous. His returns are ridiculous. His returns are ridiculous. I mean, at his price, you know, price per million, he's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
Are there any price changes of note?
There are, but I got some questions for you. You just want to skip ahead because you don't want to be in front of the class?
No, we can do that.
So, with this emergence of Jesse Lingard now, he's sitting at 6.3. He's gone up 0.4 in the last 3 weeks. Everybody notices the goals. He seems like he's in the right position to score goals for a United team that is, you know, scuppering to find an offensive thread, you know, consistency there. Is Jesse Lingard a new Mahrez, or is he fast-forwarded 8 weeks Richarlison?
Interesting. I think Manchester United obviously have more guaranteed attack than Watford did.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
And Lingard is a beneficiary, whereas Richarlison was a creator. Mm-hmm. I would say a little bit more Mahrez. I mean, I don't know if we will ever have a player like that year with Mahrez, although the year before that with Kane was pretty great.
Yeah, yeah.
But that Mahrez-Vardy year was insane. What I will say about Lingard is I think he's a must-own now. I think if you had Richarlison or Gross, you pretty much need to move to Lingard while he's kind of on this vein of form. As you're kind of alluding to, it may not last. We don't know. But for right now, it's hard to imagine why you wouldn't be owning him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, his ownership is completely spiked. I'm actually going to condone people. You know, we as a podcast, we always say, you know, be a week late and don't chase points. I'm telling you to chase points here, and you're going to hear it again later when we do start sits, because I'm still all over Jesse Lingard, and I think that there's still some meat on the bone to get there. He's owned in 15.7% of leagues right now, and that number continues to climb because he's the most transferred in player this week. It's based on price. It's based on returns. It's based on United's upcoming schedule. He's got every check in his favor.
That's concerning, though, because I'm sure you've seen on the official account they've been posting the successfulness of each most transferred in player each week, and it has not been great.
It only gave good returns once. I think it was Mo Salah when he scored two goals. That was the one time when he scored two goals. But, I mean, I'm still a buyer in Jesse Lingard. I think there's a little bit of meat on the bone there before you have to start, you know, questioning, okay, now is it Lingard or is it, you know, somebody pricier? And then you have to, you know, shift around funds to somebody cheaper than Lingard to, you know, warrant somebody else. You know, it's probably one or two more weeks, and then it's going to start. As long as he gives you returns, I think that's until he starts leapfrogging people, then you're going to be like, all right, I need Jesse Lingard, and I'm going to punt down to, you know, a Mark Albright, and then I'm going to use that savings to jump up to somebody else. But where am I using that money? So two more weeks, I would say, if he actually continues on the same path that he's going. If he continues on the same path he's going, he's going to be $7 million in 2 weeks. But, yeah, so, I mean, I'm optimistic about Lingard. I like where he's doing. He's, you know, he's not just scoring cheap goals. The goals he's scoring are, you know, The one he scored in what was it, the FA Cup, it was pretty decent. Little laces outside of the laces, looked a little nice. Looked like he was going. So I know you hate Arsenal. I mean, you don't hate them, you just dislike them a lot.
No, I hate them.
All right, good. are you sick of hearing that Jack Wilshere is a viable FPL candidate?
Sure
now?
Am. We had an Arsenal fan on the Premier League show a couple weeks back, and he was basically saying that Jack Wilshere starting was only out of necessity. And I think that's the case. And I do not think he will hold on to that position as Arsenal get more healthy in the midfield.
Yeah, I equate this to – you remember all that preseason hype for when Aaron Ramsey was supposedly the next coming of Joseph
way more than I do Wilshere.
Oh, absolutely. I think he's a better offensive player. But I think that Wilshere, what he's showing – is tricking or fooling or Houdini-ing people into saying, oh, his price at 5.4, he could be that punt-down midfielder that everybody wants. No, I don't see it either. I just want to throw it out there because he is a name in the know. We aren't a podcast in the know. We like to keep people in the know. So now you know.
We do indeed. All right, and we are back. My dearest friend Robert of House Langevin.
Yes, my liege.
what are we looking at price changes this week? You already mentioned Lingard has been spiking. Aguero has been dropping. What are some of the other guys that have been making moves financially there in the FPL game?
On the ups, you know, it's just basically who you expect to be. Look at the returns that have been coming up, and people are, you know, they're not chasing points here. They're basically relying on the products at the country store back in 1880. They're buying the flour, they're buying the wheat, they're buying the Marcus Alonso's, they're buying the Raheem Sterling's, they're buying, you know, guys that have been, you know, stalwarts. So on the price ups, it's Marcus Alonso. Surprise, surprise, look at his returns. He's the best fantasy defender, regardless of price, hands down, no price, no qualms about it. Harry Maguire is in there as well. Lester's been showing out a little bit, he's been contributing a little bit. By the way, Kev, I wanted to run this by you too. You think people's transfer in rates are any way equated to transfer rumors surrounding people?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Because Mahrez is being transferred in a ton. So, and Maguire. Yeah,
and if he did move to Liverpool and if he was given that central role, he would obviously be even more lethal than he is at Leicester right now, although with a little bit more rotation risk.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. And Maguire has been mentioned around in some transfer rumors as well from what I saw. So.
Maybach, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, and Johnny Evans potentially to one of the Manchester clubs would make him very valuable as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Otamendi and Jones, those are the City and United Manchester luck, clean sheet luck charms. And then a surprise, I think this is a tail end of the double game week and possibly – you know, people are buying into what the upcoming schedule leads for the Hammers. Angelo Ogbonna has gone up as well. Jesse Lingard, I mentioned before, he's actually gone up twice this week already. Could possibly go up one more time because his ownership was low. Now it's being high, so he may go up one more time. Mahrez has gone up. This is why I mentioned if transfer rumors have anything to do with price changes. Absolutely they do. And the funny thing is, transfer rumors that involved Liverpool are completely crazy. I think Liverpool has more fantasy players that play this game that support that club than any other club in this game. It's not even close, and I believe it 100% hands down. I don't have a number to back it up, but I'm just speculating. I think because I think Liverpool players like completely control the market in the FPL right now. Raheem Sterling's gone up. Eriksen's gone up. Arnautovic has gone up. He's got a flag. Be careful. Don't buy into it this week. Firmino has gone up. We're still waiting on Firmino's ban, correct? If he actually did say what he said or correct. Didn't say, because the referee didn't see him, so I think that's their defense. If the words don't fit, you must acquit. Sergio Aguero's gone up, and Harry Kane has gone up. No surprises there. Those are the three most owned forwards in the game, Firmino, Aguero, Kane. And it continues to rise because I think they're basically the staple items, like I said. On the downs, Morata has gone down. Shaqiri has gone down. Hasn't really done anything. Stoke is in a pile of trouble right now. They have no skipper now. KDB's gone down. Monreal, he's injured, but I wonder if he's been pimped now by Maitland-Niles. And then Valencia has gone. Antony Valencia for United has gone down. Hasn't played in five games. He's still iffy, 50% with a hamstring injury, so I don't think we see him probably this week. Maybe next week would be the best tout for him. But, yeah, those are the price ups and price downs. There's a ton of other downs, but nobody else really significant. A lot of names you don't really know. Basically, guys that are only owned in leagues where their family members play. But, yeah, I mean, it's a good week because, you know, there was FA Cup last week, and now there's, you know, the Swamp Donkey Cup, you know, yesterday and tomorrow. And then we'll figure out what the upcoming schedule is. So it's going to be an interesting run in here with the last 15 game weeks. It's going to be fun. I'm going to have fun. I'm going to do 15 more podcasts with one of my good friends, Kevin John DeVries.
Hey, it's me. Cool. All right, let's just jump into them gosh darn start sets. My forward, maybe of surprise to people, is going to be Alexander Lacazette of the Arsenal team that I do not care for very much at all. And as much as a Tottenham fan, I enjoy his Baron run and his struggles. I think kind of like we were talking about Morata, I think that's about to turn around pretty soon and potentially in a big way. He actually has the second best shot accuracy in the league right now and is facing Bournemouth, who have kept just one clean sheet in the last 10 matches. And it was 9 matches ago. So, I really think if Lacazette gets the start, he'll be a huge threat for them. And I do think he'll get the start. Because, as I'll talk about in a little bit, I don't think Alexis plays in this one with the City rumors swirling, just like he didn't start the season when the City rumors were swirling then as but well.
You know what the crazy thing is? They're offering him to pay him. He's going to be the fourth highest paid player per week in the world.
Who, Alexis?
Mm-hmm.
On that potential City deal? Yeah. And, you know, if he's the player he was last year, it's worth it. In midfield, you already talked about Jesse Lingard. I'm going to talk about him a little bit as well. He's just been tremendous of late, blanking just once in the last 5 matches, 4 goals and 1 assist over that period. He sits top 5 in both goals and shots on target over that period as well. And now he gets to go against Stoke, who you mentioned are managerless and are literally the league's worst away defense. So yeah, I think United score multiples here. I love that Pogba started getting back into the show last week, last quote-unquote week, last match week. And I'm pretty confident Lingard will be involved in at least one, if not multiple goals there against Stoke. We kind of mentioned the Liverpool guys, Lallana or Oxlade-Chamberlain. The real football side says Oxlade-Chamberlain. The fantasy side obviously wants Lallana. But any of those guys could end up being interesting. Also, Leroy Sané, I wrote down in my notes initially, but if Alexis is on the way, he might not get playing time. But if the Alexis deal stalls or doesn't happen at all with no Gabriel Jesus, I think Leroy Sané has a much better chance of starting week in, week out going forward. Defenses that I like are West Brom against Brighton's worst away attack in the league, Swansea versus Newcastle, who have failed to score in 45% of their matches, which is bottom 5 of the league, and Manchester United, just because I'm not particularly worried about the Stoke team, while also admitting that they have scored in some big matches thus far. Rob, who you got on the docket this week?
It's funny. I'm going to start with an anti of what you just said. I like Newcastle's defense.
Way.
Coming off back-to-back clean sheets for the Magpies.
So nil-nil's what we're going here.
Yeah, basically. So I'll give a tout to Kieran Clark, 4.4. He's owned in 1.9% of leagues. He does give a little bit of offensive thing. That a lot of Newcastle defenders have a flag on him right now. Lascelles is one, so, you know, I think that Clark is probably one of the better plays because they're not really healthy enough and they don't have enough talent there to field the squad. So I think Clark gets there and there by attrition or detrition, whatever the word is. Lingard is my
midfielder. I believe it's nutrition.
There you go. Nutrition. There you go. Dietitian. Lingard is my midfielder. Kevin mentioned all the good stats. Listen, 15.7% owned. It's only going up. It's probably going to be close to 19% by game week, which is completely crazy to think about because – you know, everybody looks at, oh, it's only 4% increase. 4% increase is almost, you know, was that 100,000 more players bringing him in? That's just crazy to think about. He's got a 0.4 in the last three game weeks, and the results are still to come because I think that United need him to be a offensive focal point. My forward start. I wanted to do a drum roll here, but I don't have the power or will right now. But it's Andy Carroll at 5.8. West Ham.
Ooh, this is the week he might matter.
Yeah, so he scored two weeks ago. Didn't do squat the next week. I think he only played 5 minutes. But I'm encouraged here because A, his price is 5.8. Anybody who has been sitting on Calvert-Lewin and are not buying into Sengtosan yet, you know, 5.8 is a good transition for all the cheap third striker options. Plus, these are his next five games, Kevin. At Huddersfield, versus Bournemouth, versus Palace, at Brighton, and then verse Watford as his next five. It's kind of optimistic. I'm more optimistic because his price lines up neutrally with, you know, your cheap third striker. And, you know, we know what Andy Carroll, Captain Manbun, can do when he actually does something. And he's like that wild card. So basically, you know, it's not an awesome tout, but I like going for guys who are, you know, obtusely owned and kind of strange, except for Lingard. But Kevin likes to go for the obvious. See, that's why we're like Mutt and Jeff, yin and yang. We go together like peanut butter and bananas. on my sits, Romelu Lukaku. Kevin, I'm going to drop some stats because I did some stuff today. Ooh. I like dropping weird stats, okay? He hasn't had a double-digit return since – he's only had one double-digit return since week one of this year. Since his last double-digit point return, well, I believe it was in week five, there have been 70 double-digit returns by midfielders and forwards since that time. 70. Now, you tell me why 22% of people are still owning Romelu Lukaku.
It's a great question. He has not been very good for Manchester United, at least in the fantasy department. Obviously, he does things that don't garner fantasy points. But, an FPL? No thanks.
And I appreciate everybody who does all those pictures on Twitter of that he looks like Mark Henry from WWE in a Manchester United singlet. I love it. I absolutely love it. My midfielder sits Sadio Mane, 9.3, 7% owned. I think City just has enough defensively that they're not going to – they may limit Liverpool to one, but I don't think that Mane is that one. On defense, I'm not buying Burnley this week. I don't know why. Actually, I do know why. Because Palace have scored at least two goals at home in six of their last seven matches. There's another stat for you. See, I'm coming up with dynamite stuff this week. Tarkowski and me are in the top six in being transferred in for defenders. I'm not buying it. I don't see it. I think Palace get on the board, which completely neutralizes a usually stoutish Burnley defense.
Yeah. Are you confident the Palace score?
Listen, I'm not a complete buyer in stats. I'm usually an eye test guy. Mm. But when they've scored at least two goals in six of their last seven home games, you know, if they scored one, I'd be like, okay, that's something not to look at. But they've scored two in six of their last seven home games.
That is a fantastic stat.
Like the only time they didn't score two is the Man City.
Hey, they're good.
Yeah, and I've heard they wear blue.
They do. That's also correct. Yeah, I've heard that. Fair enough. Is that you done then?
That's it, man. I'm done. I'm sorry. I wish I could ramble on longer.
It's a walk-off.
It's a walk.
For me, I sit up front, unfortunately, is Calvert-Lewin. We mentioned him earlier, but this is pretty unfortunate since I still own him. But has three top 10 defenses in his next five matches, four top 11 defenses, but I realize that's kind of stat skewing, but it's worth noting. And now he has to worry about Cenk Tosun taking his job. Oh, and he's blanked his last four matches, which is what we were alluding to earlier when we mentioned that his performances weren't helping him stay in our teams. So to quote Jay-Z, we off that.
Yeah, and the other funny thing about Cenk Tosun is he hasn't played since the 28th of December.
There you go.
So he's fresh. Exciting.
Like a daisy. So in midfield, I'm sitting Coutinho. I think he'll really struggle to pick up points for Liverpool, considering his move to... No. I'm actually going to go with Alexis. I don't see how you could be confident at all that he would start this week with whispers of a deal to City kind of looming everywhere. His performances have been okay. Obviously, per 90 minutes, he's been a little disappointing, but he's been getting tallies somewhat consistently. But for his price and the chance that he just won't start at all while this deal is coming through, it's even questionable if he'll play tomorrow against Chelsea, although I regret saying that because by the time you listen to this, that match may have already happened. But yeah, I'm just not confident in him at all. And in defense, Sit seems strong, but I just felt it was important to bring up Liverpool versus City because it has a really interesting side note in that Liverpool have the best home defense and City have the best away defense. So while everybody thinks of City and Liverpool as just being kind of these free scoring units, this might be one where there's far less scoring than people might assume. I'm not saying clean sheets, but I feel like a lot of people are looking at matchups like Salah on Fabian Delph at left back, potentially Danilo, and thinking that's an amazing matchup. Looking at Sterling on a young Andy Robertson, who's played well since winning that job for Liverpool. But all the individual matchups sound good-ish, but it's worth noting again that both of these are actually in their best element defensively, City away from the Etihad, Liverpool at home at Anfield. So just an interesting little side note, and make of that what you will. As for our actual teams, I did swap out Pascal Gross for Lingard. Also worth noting on Pascal Gross, I know the returns haven't been very good lately, but he did jump back into the creative stats again this week. So just kind of keeping an eye, if you are waiting to sell and have him and Richarlison, I'd probably rather get rid of Richarlison.
Yo, that boy creative. That boy creative.
He do them creates. but anyway, so for me this week, starting at the back, I actually haven't really decided where I want to go keeper-wise. I have Fabianski versus Newcastle and Adrian versus Huddersfield. Both of them get so many saves that they can rack up points regardless of whether or not they keep clean sheets. Then across the back, Phil Jones, Andreas Christensen, and Jonjo Kenny. Christensen against Leicester, I'm not as excited as I'd like to be. I just think that pace could undo this Chelsea attack, Chelsea defense a little bit, although they have kept four clean sheets in five. I'm just a little bit leery. Across the midfield, Raheem Sterling, Mohamed Salah, Richarlison, Dele Alli, and Jesse Lingard. And up front, Kane and Morata. I agreed with you at least enough to not move Morata out of my team. As I mentioned, I have more pressing concerns. And it's entirely possible that the bad performances will be kind of counterbalanced by a great one. So I'm just going to kind of roll with that as is. I currently have the C on Salah on good will that he will be starting this weekend with the vice-captain on Sterling. If news changes, I will probably flip-flop to captaining Sterling and throwing the V somewhere else in this team. But I'm not confident in Kane and Ali versus Everton, although Kane has had some pretty good performances against them recently. Rob, who are you dressing up this week in your fantasy squad, and who's getting that armband?
I've made two changes because I didn't make a change the week before because I completely slept through the double game week and I thought all the games started at 10 and the one started at 7:30 Eastern time. So I'm not proud of that. So I have Fabianski in net. I have Kieran Clark, Masuaku, Jones, Alonso was one of my transfers in this week, and Otamendi in defense. I've kind of swapped a little bit of my mentality here. I'm kind of more investing in defense for the next couple weeks, just to see how it turns, like flips my team around and where my money can go. Bringing in Alonso is the most expensive defender, but he gives you the returns of the most expensive defender. So I'm optimistic that he could, you know, help me a little bit. Through the midfield, Shaqiri is my dump. I just don't have enough transfers to get him out, and I don't want a wild card yet. Pogba, De Bruyne, Lingard, and Salah. Lingard is my other transfer in. So I'm optimistic that I'm not chasing points. And my forwards are Morata, Firmino, and unfortunately, like I said, I don't have enough transfers, so DCL is still there. He'll be gone pretty soon. I still have $1 million in the bank. I have the captain right now on De Bruyne, but that's only because it's what I did last week. It'll probably be on somebody crazy. I might actually be crazy and just put it on Alonso. I'm just being stupid right now because I brought him in. Everybody likes the shiny new toy, especially me. I'm like shiny objects. I'm like a big dumb animal.
Ooh, yeah, isn't birds? Get distracted
birds, birds are iguanas.
Women, no.
Women do like big shiny objects.
I mean, engagement rings aren't big for no reason. Man, that might be offensive. Sorry if that's offensive to people. And whoops. All right. Well, that will do it for us today, unless you have any nonsense. You got any nonsense?
No. Oh, well, I mean, people who listen to this, like American football. I mean, who do you think's going to win this? Who do you think's going to win this weekend's football games?
Oh, man. I want to say the Steelers. Yeah, the Steelers. Steelers are going to beat Jacksonville. They barely snuck out of last week's game. And Antonio Brown's fully back. So we should be A-okay. And while the Jaguars have a very good secondary, there aren't many teams more stacked at wide receiver than Antonio Brown, Martavis, and Juju, now that Martavis is actually playing football like a normal person again. Patriots probably win. Blech. Who's on the other side? The Falcons beat the Rams, right? Who are the Falcons playing? Is it Falcons-Eagles?
Falcons play the Eagles, and the Saints play the Vikings.
Ooh, give me the Vikings and the Eagles. Although I wouldn't be surprised if the Falcons just outvetted the Eagles, just like they did to the Rams last week.
Yeah. Who do you think is in the Super Bowl?
Unfortunately, the Steelers need somebody else to beat the Patriots. Fun fact: the two Super Bowls the Steelers have won in this kind of 2000s era, a different team has beaten the Patriots before making it to the championship game, because the Steelers have beaten, I think it was the Jets and the Colts in championship games.
Yeah.
To get to the Super Bowl, we've not done it to the Patriots. Obviously, the fact it's at Foxborough is a blow.
Oof.
There is all this weird internal strife with the Patriots, but my dad's actually visiting me right now, and he asked who I thought was the person kind of manipulating this whole Patriots story. I was like, you know who immediately leaps to mind with mind games like this? Is Bill Belichick. I don't know how this helps them, but I think somehow Belichick is stoking his own fires right now.
Yeah, it's like the Patriots weren't in the news for a week, so he's like, I'm going to create an elaborate story to get me in the news.
That makes no sense and should, in theory, be detrimental to them, but will somehow help them. So, unfortunately, as much as I love my Steelers, unless we can get a little bit of help this week, I think the Patriots probably go for the AFC a freaking again, just because I have no confidence in us playing them.
Yeah.
And I'll say winner of Eagles-Falcons.
Nice. I have the Saints and Steelers in the Super Bowl.
So. Hey, I would love that Super Bowl.
So, I really would. You know, as far as this game's weeks, you could basically just backtrack around. I think Tennessee.
Why do you think the Saints beat the Vikings? Just the run attack's too good?
I think that, listen, they're going to a dome. The Saints are a dome team.
Mm-hmm.
I know, I understand defense wins, but the Saints'
defense has been really good this year.
Yeah, I think that the Saints' defense is on par with what Minnesota can do, and the Saints' defense offense is better than Minnesota. Listen, Case Keenum has been phenomenal this year. I just don't know how much he can do in the playoffs under the scrutiny, big lights, big, you know, that kind of mm-hmm. thing. I don't know if he's that, you know, he's had a phenomenal year. I just don't know if it's going to continue against a very, very, very good Saints team who offensively look like they can pretty much beat most people.
That's fair. All right, well, those are our picks. If you are interested in talking more American football, you can get at us on Twitter. Rob, where can they do that?
You can find me on Twitter, FPL_MNOP, or you can find my writings, musings, and stylings on Razzball.com.
Yeah, and I'm your other host, Kevin DeVries. You can find me on Twitter at Kevroff. You can find my writings at Goal. Also, check out our EPL Roundtable show, which you can find at EPL Roundtable on Twitter or on iTunes or any of the podcasty things, I think, except for SoundCloud. I don't think we're on that for some reason. But anyway, listen to all that stuff. Check out our Twitters. Read our junk. Best of luck to your teams, and we'll catch you next time.
Peace.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.